The Elanisim, we ask that Hashem perform miracles. Vayomim haheim vazman hazeh. A number of the Mefarshim explain that Vayomim haheim vizman hazeh does not simply mean that God should bring about miracles and salvations to not only then, but today as well, as in 2008, Tavshin Samaches, but rather the intent of the phrase is Vayomim haheim, those days, the days of Adar, Bisman Hazeh, just like then, that these very days, at this time of year, in Tavshin Samaches, should be a time of Yeshua as well. Certainly in light of the events last week, we hope and pray that all of our tefillos, all of our tehillim, and all of our learning will go towards ensuring that end. That we should in fact have a Yeshua bayomim ahem, these very days, in Adar bizman hazeh. The mitzvah of Mishloach Manos is described at the end of the Megillah, source number one on your sheets, that Vayichtav Mordechai es advarim ho'ela, Vayishlach svarim el kol ha-yehudim asher b'chol medinos ha-melech ha-chashverosh ha-krovim v'ar-rechokim. Mordechai sent out a proclamation, a letter. What was the decree? L'kayim aleihem, to maintain these days, liyos asim, es yom arba'o asar l'chodesh adar, ves yom chamisho asar ba b'chal shana v'shana, bayomim kayomim, I'm sorry, asher nochu bem ha-yehudim oiveihem, v'chodesh asher nepach lohem, miyoven l'simcha meyver l'yontiv, lasos osam yivei mishta v'simcha, to observe the 14th and the 15th of Adar, as days of celebration of joy, umishloach manos ish l'reyehu umatanos l'avyonim, that's, and to send what shalach manos, as well as matanos l'avyonim. This, the Megillah never describes what the nature of the shalach manos are, and it's what the dinim are. I think it was many, many years before I realized that unfortunately what I was taught my whole life in elementary school was incorrect. You hate when that happens. It's most of the time we learn things, and we grow up a little bit more, and we think they're wrong, and then we get a little older still, and we realize that what we learned in kindergarten was right the whole way through. I think there's a book called, there's a poem, right? Everything I learned in kindergarten. So this is something that I learned in kindergarten, and is incorrect. The only thing we're taught about Shalach Manos is that everybody knows two different foods with two different brachas. No, that's what I was taught. That's absolutely incorrect. There's really zero basis for that. It's not a minhag, it's not an opinion, it's not anything. It's absolutely false. Why the teachers teach that, I'm not sure. But it's absolutely incorrect. In fact, the Rambam writes, Ketzad chavas se'udazu, how is the obligation, what is the obligation, that's eating the Purim meal, she'yochal basar, to eat meat, v'yisak en suda nok, if yeshetim se'yado, in accordance with one's means, v'shal se'yayin, and one drinks, ad she'yishtaker, until one becomes a little bit imbibed, v'yeyrodim b'shikras, and falls asleep, and then writes the Rambam, listen carefully, v'chein chayav adam l'shloach shtei manos, shel basar, O shnei minei tavshil, O shnei minei ochlin l'chaveira shenema mishloach manos ish l'reyehu. And so too is one obligated to send two portions of meat, or two types of cooked food, or two types of raw food towards shalach manos. Now the last time I checked, two types of meat, two portions of meat, both are a bracha of shehakol, and they still count towards Mishloach Manos. Not only that, but some poskim go as far as to say that one need not send two different pieces of meat. One can have a single chicken cutlet and to cut it into half, and that's called Shtei Manos. Because as the Rambam tells us, with respect to two types of cooked food, he says, Shnei Minei Tavshilin, or Shnei Minei Ochlin, two types of food. When it comes to the meat, he just says, Shtei Manos, two portions. The Aruch HaShulchan does not accept this. The Aruch HaShulchan paskins halacha l'maisa that one cannot take a single piece of meat and cut it into half. One would have to send two different pieces, but it could certainly be two cuts from the same animal. That for sure counts. To send a thigh and a breast. And that for sure would count. Even though the two pieces of meat are the same bracha. This is clearly the halacha. Some go even further as to suggest that maybe one need not send food at all. Now, that's very radical. Everybody knows you have to send food. Is there any possibility whatsoever that one can fulfill the obligation of Shalach Manas with items other than food? So, the name Reb Shlomo Alkabitz, ring a bell to anybody? Reb Shlomo Halevi Alkabitz was a contemporary of the Mekubalim in Tzfat. He also is well known to us as the author of the Lichadavi. That's why you follow through. Shamar Likras Shin Lamed Mem. And you remember he's Halevi, that's his Odori, Lo Sevoshi, etc. Shlomo Halevi Alkabitz. Shlomo Halevi Alkabitz was a tremendous Talmud Chacham. And he was a big tzaddik, and he was a mekubal. He was a contemporary of all the great mekubalim, as I mentioned in Tzfat. He's also very creative. And what he suggested is as follows. We always try to have Shalach Manas with a theme. My mother-in-law helps us out of that in my family. Shout out for grandma. One year we had a boys' theme. One year we had a girls' theme. One year we had a fire in the house. We had fire trucks, and we had water. It's every year a different theme. So Shlomo Alkabitz says, I have the best theme of all. And it goes as follows. If one looks at the Psukim in the Megillah, which is number 5 on your sheets, Vayomer Haman LaMelech Achashverosh, Yeshno Am Echad Mifuzar UMifarad Bein HaAmim, there is a nation that is mifuzar, that is dispersed, umifarad, and divided among the nations. Bechal medinas malchusecha, vidaseyem shanas mikalam. They behave differently, they have a different religion. Ves dosei hamelech einam alsem. They don't follow your minhagim. Vilamelech ein shav elohanicham. And it doesn't pay for you to leave these people around. Asks Rav Shlomo Alkabitz, why the repetition? When Haman describes us to the Melech, the Achashverosh, so he describes an Am Echad Mifuzar Umifarad. Isn't that one and the same? Says Rav Shlomo Alkabitz, absolutely not. No. Achashverosh said we're dispersed. Haman said we're dispersed. But he also predicated his anticipated success on the fact of Umifarad, that we are divided. You have Svaradim and Ashkenazim and Datiyim and Chelonim and Litvish and Satrim and Bells and Vishnits. We couldn't get along. That's, we weren't united. That divisiveness, explains from Shlomo Alkabitz, was the basis of Haman's anticipated success. Were we to have been cohesive, were we to have been united with Achdus, so Haman understood he would never have a fighting chance in defeating us. It was only because we're not only Mifuzar, but as well, we are also Mifarad. That's why Haman knew he was able to defeat us. And thus explains Rav Shlomo Alkabitz, when in fact we merited a Yeshua, a salvation, and Hashem saved us, how do we celebrate? Explained Rav Shlomo Alkabitz, we celebrate by reinforcing, by recommitting to the ideals of cohesiveness, of Jewish unity. How do we go about bringing cohesiveness? So that's easy, says Rav Shlomo Alkabitz. You give gifts. That's just like in the Chumash. The Torah warns, Lo sikach shochad, you're not allowed to, heaven forbid, bribe a judge. Why not? Because shochad, a bribe, automatically you give a gift, automatically that person becomes closer to you. Even if that individual is a tzaddik, it is inescapable. That's why parenthetically the Paskim say that in fact if somebody has a Din Torah, it is absolutely prohibited to send Shalach Manas to the anticipated Dayan, to the anticipated judge. In a similar vein, we find in the Sefer Orchas Tzadikim, what do you do if there's somebody you really dislike? So we think that we give because we love. Writes the Orchas Tzadikim? No. The Orchas Tzadikim is one of the classic Musar Sfarim, whose authorship and precise date of publication is not known. Writes the Orchas Tzadikim, if there's somebody you dislike, what should you do? Give to that person, invite that person over, reach out to that person. You're a faker, it doesn't matter. The first time you're a faker, the third time, the fifth time, by the tenth time, if you keep on giving and giving and giving, you draw closer to that individual. Because when we give, we become closer. So too, explained Rav Shlomo Alkavitz, inasmuch as Haman's anticipated success would be predicated on our lack of cohesiveness, the way that we acknowledge HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Yeshua is by recommitting to that cohesiveness, and the way that Achdus is generated is by giving. My father yesterday added that we find, let's say, with respect to non-kosher wine, or Bishul Akum, Stam Yenam, all the restrictions that Chacham in place in terms of being overly involved with Gentiles are always food related, because as Jackie Mason teaches, that's food is what brings us together. This what the Pasuk referred to as kiruv hadas, that food brings us together, which would seem to indicate that even though the reason for bringing us together, the reason for Mishloach Manos, I'm sorry, is to bring us together, one would still have to use food for Shalach Manas. But nonetheless, I mentioned earlier, that Rav Shlomo Alkavitz was very creative. And he did not assume that way. And in fact, he writes in his commentary that inasmuch as the purpose of Mishloach Manas is to bring Jew and fellow Jew closer. So he writes, what do you need food for? What I'm going to do is write a commentary on Megillas Esther, beginning to end, which is a little bit more difficult than a bottle of grape juice and a candy dish. I'm going to write a commentary on Megillas Esther, beginning to end, and I'll send it to my father-in-law, which is exactly what he did. He writes his introduction. Get it? That's why I'm going to name this commentary Manos HaLevi. This is my Mishloach Manos, me the Levi. This is the Shalach Manas I'm going to send to my father-in-law this year, because I'm positive this will bring you closer to me, it will have greater cohesiveness and achdus, and we'll all live happily ever after, more so than if I would have sent food items. Halacha l'maisa, we do not assume this way. Practically, maybe even as I mentioned, even if you assume the reason for Mishloach Manas is in order to bring Jew and fellow Jew closer together, a strong case can be made that that's accomplished specifically with food. Remember in Staten Island one year, so somebody sent the Rebbe a car for Shalach Manas. Held like Rav Shlomo Alkavitz. I take that. That's okay. But really, we paskin that in order to be yotzei the mitzvah, one in fact does require food, either because even Reb Shlomo Alkavitz really, really agrees that you need food. And all he meant was that sending a commentary to his father-in-law is in the spirit of Mishloach Manas, but not really the mitzvah. But beyond that, whereas Reb Shlomo Alkavitz assumes that the purpose of Mishloach Manas is in order to counter the Am Echad Mefuzar Mefarad of Haman and bring us closer together, if you look at the next source, number 7 on the sheets, Rabbi Yisrael Isserlin, the Trumas Hadeshen, was the leader of Austrian Jewry at the beginning of the 15th century. Many, many of his Piskei Halacha, many of his rulings find their way both into the Shulchan Aruch as well as the Ramah. And the Trumas Hadeshen was asked specifically regarding this issue, She'elah, number 7, B'nei Adam ha-shalchem l'chavreihem b'purim chalukim. What are chalukim? Clothing. V'sadinim and sheets. V'chihai gavna and similar items. Since i.e. people who send one another on Purim non-food items. Yotzim yidei mishlach manos olav. Do they get the mitzvah of shalach manos or don't they? Very straightforward question. And a very straightforward answer. Tshuva. Ye ra'e, it would appear to me, de ein yotzim bohen. They do not receive the mitzvah of mishlach manos. Why? De nir'e tam de mishlach manosu. Kidei sheyehei lekal echad dai v'safek lekayem hasu'uda kedina. Because it would appear to me that the purpose of mishlach manos is to make sure that everybody has enough food for their meals. That's unlike the manas alevi, unlike Rav Shlomo HaKavetz, who've used the purpose of shalach manos to bring Jew and fellow Jew closer, to foster greater achdus and cohesiveness. The Trumas HaDeshen does not assume that way. The Trumas HaDeshen assumes that the purpose of mishlach manos, rather, is simply to make sure that everybody has enough food for their meal. Although the Trumas HaDeshen does not use this phrase, there's a phrase that many of the later poskim, when quoting the Trumas HaDeshen, refer to. I'm not sure where they got it from, but to the best of my knowledge, the Trumas HaDeshen himself did not say this, but it certainly is what he means. And that is harvacha lebalei simachot. That's harvacha lebalei simachot means that in order to not have to skimp. Now, if you're making a meal, it should be berevach. You shouldn't be counting, you shouldn't be measuring. There should be lots and lots of food to go around. This, according to the Trumas HaDeshen, is the purpose of Mishloach Manos. Rav Shlomo Gansri, the author of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, wrote a commentary on the Chumash entitled Sefer Aperyon. And in his Sefer Aperyon, Rav Shlomo Gansri adds to the Trumas HaDeshen a very beautiful and powerful idea. Writes from Shlomo Gansri, you have to wonder, if in fact the reason for Shalach Manos is to make sure people have enough food, so why not only send the people who you're concerned don't have enough food? So Shlomo Gansri suggests that that is in fact the case. That really, really, the mitzvah is to make sure that those who are tight have enough. Just like Matanos Levyonim. But in order not to embarrass those who are poor, those who are going through a difficult time, so we send shalach manos to everybody. So imagine if you had, somebody wakes up in the morning and that door is filled up with 500 shalach manos and the guy, and the rich person next door doesn't have anything. So that'd be very embarrassing. Therefore, explains Rav Shlomo Gansri, even though the purpose of the mitzvah is to make sure that those who can't afford a large Purim Su'uda should be able to do so, but the form in which the mitzvah takes is one that does not differentiate between those who have and those who don't. That's Matanos Levyonim, but at least for Shalach Manos, that we apply the mitzvah equally so as to be able to distribute derech kavod and not cause undue embarrassment to those who don't have. Certainly according to the approach of the Trumas HaDeshen, one can only be yotzei the mitzvah of mishloach manos with food, and this in fact is the psak of the Shulchan Aruch. The psak of the Shulchan Aruch, Chayav l'shloach l'chaver shtei manos basar al shnei minei ochlin. Two portions of meat, two types of food, shenemar u'mishloach manos ish l'reyehu, which means shtei manos l'ish echad, two portions to one person. V'chal hamarbe l'shloach l'reyim mishubach, and one who does more than this is praiseworthy. V'im ein lo, and if you don't have the means to be able to afford shalach manos, so what do? Machlif im chavero, you trade. Zeh shalech lezeh su'daso, v'zeh shalech lezeh su'daso. Kidei lekayim mishloach manos ish l'reyehu. So what do? That's you prepare your meal, your neighbor prepares her meal, and then you switch, and this way each of you has a meal, and each of you mekayim the mitzvah of mishloach manos. Writes the Mishnah Brura, Turning the page, Shnei Minei Ochlin, number 9. V'lau begadim usharei devarim, and not to send clothing or any other item. So that would mean as you can't do that. It has to be only food. V'hu adinim so too, demashka, that sending a drink, a beverage, is also shapir dami, also counts. Why? D'shesia b'chlal achila, because drinking is a subcategory of eating. Well, though the halacha is that one has to send food, the post can record a lot of different ramifications between the accepting the reasoning of the Terumas HaDeshan versus that of the Manas HaLevi. What's the reason for Mishloach Manas? Everybody agrees, bottom line, that one has to have food. However, what would be the din in the following case? Let's say I try to send Shloach Manas, and the person is not in the mood. I don't want it. I'm cleaning for Pesach already. Thanks for no thanks. So what's the din? If the person turns you down, would you still be Mekayim? Do you still get the mitzvah? So what? So you can send it to somebody else. That'd be practical. But let's say the Pesach don't think practical all the time. Did you get the mitzvah? Do you have to send it to somebody else? Or do we say, hey, you tried, and just trying should be enough to count towards the mitzvah. So what should this depend upon? This depends on what the reason is. If one assumes that the reason for Shloach Manas is in order to recommit to cohesiveness, to achdus, so the very fact that I make an attempt should be enough to satisfy the requirement that the recipient realizes that I care about him, I care about her, that should be enough. However, if you assume like the Terumas HaDeshan, that the purpose of the mitzvah is in order to ensure that all have enough food for their meals, so if the person turns you down and doesn't take the food, so one does not receive the mitzvah. This is what the Chasam Sofer explains in the Tshuva, and in fact, the Ramah on that piece in the Shulchan Aruch, continuing, passes explicitly that if one sends Shloach Manas and the intended recipient does not accept, one still fulfills the obligation. That would seem to follow the rationale of the Manos HaLevi of Rav Shlomo HaKabetz. Whereas the Bri Chadash, quoted by the Mishnah Brura, number 10 on the sheets, disagrees and maintains that one who sends Shloach Manas and the portions are not accepted does not receive credit for the mitzvah, and one would have to try to send to another individual. The Pri Chadash apparently assuming, like the Terumas HaDeshan, that the purpose of the mitzvah is in order to provide food. If they're not going to accept the food, so the halacha would be one does not receive credit for the mitzvah. Another shaila that sometimes comes up. I've dropped Shloach Manas off at a neighbor's home, at a friend's home, and I send my kids. And the kids go, what do the kids do? They drop it. Daughter comes home, happens to me all the time. They weren't home. So what do you do with it? I left it at the door. Is there a card? No. So if you send Shloach Manas without a card, if the recipient is unaware of the mishalayach, of the identity of the sender, do you receive the mitzvah or don't you? So once again, say the poskim, if you assume the purpose is like the Terumas HaDeshan, to simply provide food so that the halacha should be, if anything, it's better, like Stukah. Stukah sending anonymously is a higher level than identifying yourself. But if you assume, however, that the purpose of the Shloach Manas is not providing food for the Su'uda, but rather is in order to foster greater cohesiveness, Achvan Reyes being Jew and fellow Jew, so that's pretty hard to do if you don't know the identity of the person who sent those Mishloach Manas. Another shaila, what about if somebody is on a restricted diet? Right, theoretically, a lot of people have restricted diets. So let's say one is on a low sodium diet. Or let's say one is on a low cholesterol diet, or low everything diet. And somebody does me a great big favor and sends me a big fat cheesecake. So what's the din? Did they receive credit for the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos? So say some of the poskim, it depends. If you assume that the purpose of the Mishloach Manos is in order to provide for the meal, so a case could be made, if the person's not going to eat this, the person is a vegetarian, you send the side of beef, so you might have spent $200 on that side of beef, but it's not going to be used. Whereas if you assume the purpose of it, Mishloach Manos, is to be married by Achlan Reyes, assuming that you're not doing this to insult the person and to take a dig at them, but if you don't know, that as if the sender is unaware of the dietary restrictions and sends an item that practically cannot be eaten, so the halacha would still be that one fulfills the mitzvah simply by exhibiting that desire to come closer to another Jew. Or let's say my neighbor's kid came back from Israel and now they don't eat OU anymore. They only eat Chassidus Shechita, right? So this we have. So I send an Empire chicken, but the family can't use it at the Seder because the kid doesn't eat Empire chicken anymore. So what's the halacha? That they're not going to use the food at the meal. Can one still be Mekayim in the midst of Shalach Manas? Or, very practically, you have people like they said, I remember one year the theme that somebody sent was breakfast. So you have a little thing of milk, and you have a little thing of Wheaties. So that milk is one, Wheaties is two, and an orange, whatever it is. But are you going to use that with your Purim Suda? That's the Purim Suda ideally should be fleshed. So according to the Manas Halevi, it doesn't matter. There's no requirement that the Mishloach Manas have anything to do with the meal. Whereas according to the Trimas Adeshen, a case can be made that it's certainly better for one to send items that could be used with the Su'udah. Cake is used for dessert. Grape juice, wine is all used with the Su'udah. A kugel is used with the Su'udah. But to send cereal and milk, a case can be made that's not really going to be used with the meal, and therefore, according to the Trumas Hadashan, would not count towards Shalach Manas. Whereas if the reason is like the Manas Alevi, to foster greater cohesiveness in Achdus, so then the din would be that even though it's not part of the meal, it absolutely counts 100%. Yeah? That's not the worst thing in the world. It's somebody should think of making an effort to like them. But it is case by case. So there's a discussion in the Poskim regarding Nichum Avelim, a Sone being Menachem Avos. It's a very tough call. That's a Sone being Menachem Avos. So sometimes we say that better not to be. And sometimes we say, no, this is an opportunity to come closer together. If it's a case, bottom line, if it's a case where according to your assessment, by you sending Shalach Manas, it's going to rile the person up even more. So then, obviously, there's no purpose in sending those Shalach Manas. But if the purpose of the Shalach Manas is to bring you closer together, and the Shalach Manas may very likely be well received. So on the contrary, according to the Manas Halevi, that's a bigger hiddur than sending Shalach Manas to somebody with whom you get along anyhow. If you turn back to the first page of the sources, so number 3 on the sheets, very, very little Gemara addressing Shalach Manas. Really one passage on Daf Zayin in Maseches Megillah. Umatanas lev yamim tani rev Yosef, umishlach manas ishreyeyu shtei manas lishechot. Notice the plural mishloach manas. Manas means a minimum of two. Ishlerei ehu, to his friend, as in one. Shtei manas l'ishachad, two portions to one person. You're a yaltzei, you fulfill your obligation of shalach manas by sending two food portions to one individual. You don't got to send 100, don't even have to send two. Just two portions to one individual would be a fulfillment of the mitzvah. And then matanos levyanim, which is not our topic, as we know, get it plural twice. Matanos is two, levyanim is plural is two. So therefore, teaches Rav Yosef, shtei matanos l'shnei bnei adam. That's two gifts to two different people, i.e., one gift to one person. It's a very question of the Paskim, just to digress for half a moment, regarding matanos levyanim. That's when we say two gifts to two aniyim, to two evyanim. So what does that mean? How large is each gift? So when all is said and done, the many paskim point out, the Mishnah Berurah quotes and the Ritva, that it's enough to give 5 cents, 5 cents to one ani, a pruta, 5 cents to one ani, 5 cents to a second ani, and that is a fulfillment of the mitzvah. But the paskim do recommend, as we well know, that better to give lots and lots of matanos levyanim, and to cut back on Yeshalach Manas, because the Matan Levyanim, they need their Matanas a lot more than most of the recipients of our Shalach Manas need their Mishlach Manas. In any event, the Gemara then continues, Rabbi Yehuda Nesia, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, Shadar Leil Rab Alshia, he sent Rab Alshia, Atma de Igla Tilsa, Atma means a thigh, Igla is a calf, as in a cow calf, not another thigh, to Tilsa, third born. Apparently the assumption back in Talmudic times was that an animal that was the third to be born was the choicest. So he sent a yerech, he sent an atma, a thigh to Rav Alshia, vigarva dechamra, and a flask of wine. Shalach lei, responded Rav Alshia, kiyamta bana rabbeinu, umishlach manos ish reyehu, umatanos levyonim. You have fulfilled the mitzvah of mishlach manos and matanos levyonim. The Ritva has a different reading of this Gemara, which is quite significant. Kiyamta bana rabbeinu, mishlach manos ish reyehu, matanos levyonim. So the Ritva reads is incorrect. The correct text should read, Kiyamta bana rabbeinu, matanos levyanim. You have fulfilled the mitzvah of matanos levyanim. But the mitzvah of mishloach manas you have not fulfilled, because what you sent me, it's a little bit obnoxious the way we think, but he only meant for the good, what you sent me was not of adequate quality. Meaning he meant this for the good in the sense that he was concerned that Rabbi Yehuda Nesia only was sending one Mishloach Manas, and I'm adding to the story, I would assume this, and thus he was concerned that maybe what you sent me is not adequate. Why not? Because we're substantial, wealthy individuals. And as such, to send an apple and a bottle of grape juice for somebody of your stature, somebody of my stature, is inadequate. This is what the Ritva reads into this Gemara. And the halachic ramifications are very straightforward. That we've been learning it's enough to send two foods. Okay, fine. Two portions. And if anything, it's better to give lots and lots of matanos levyanim and maybe cut back a little bit on the shalach manas. But at the same time, the portions that are sent, to send a bag of potato chips and the grape juice to somebody who drives whatever car, fill in the blank. So maybe that would be inappropriate. The question is whether the quality of the shalach manas goes according to the sender or the recipient. And this, say the poskim, depends once again on the manas alevi versus trumas hadashen. If you assume that the purpose of shalach manas is to foster greater achdus and cohesiveness, like Rav Shlomo Alkavitz, so then it should depend upon your stature. That's your financial situation. that for you to send a bag of potatoes and grape juice, I had a very tough year. I'm barely making a mortgage payment. So for me to send that is appreciated. Whereas if it goes according to the reason, like the Truma Sadeshan, that the purpose is to provide for the meal, so this individual is not having potato chips and the bottle of grape juice at the meal, and thus the quality of the Shalchmanis should be dictated not by the sender, but rather by the lifestyle of the intended recipient. If you look, going back to the next page of the sources, so number 12, the Bir Halacha, which is of course the Chafetz Chaim's more extended commentary to the Shulchan Aruch, so the Bir Halacha quotes from the Chaye Adam, Chayv L'Shloch L'Chavero, etc., HaChaye Adam HaChiach, number 12, Min HaYerushalmi, the Chaye Adam proves from the Yerushalmi, the im shaleach le'ashir davar pachas, that if you send a wealthy individual something that is not of substance, eino yotzei b'zeh yedei mishloach manos, this one does not fulfill the obligation of mishloach manos, v'chein mashma b'ritva lefi girsa acheres sham b'gmara. That's, and so too is the impression one gets from the ritva, that it should depend upon what the level, the financial level of the recipient, that the Aval Shar Poskim Lo Hiskiru Dabrazah concludes the Chafetz Chaim V'Nochan Lizor B'Zeh L'Chadchila. Other Poskim do not quote this. The Chayadam is not chapped liver. The Chayadam was the classic halachic source that fell a little bit into disuse after the Mishnah Berurah was published at the end of the 19th century. But for 200 years earlier, till that point, 150 years till that point, that the Chayadam was a standard saver. The Mishnah Berurah quotes the Chayadam at least every other page. So the Chayadam is not chopped liver, which is why the Chafetz Chaim says that one should ideally try to follow this Chayadam. But other poskim do not maintain this way. Yes? Ah, excellent question. So, if you look back in the number 9, in the Mishnah Berurah, so we read the very beginning of the Mishnah Berurah, in which the Mishnah Berurah clearly says that clothing and etc., non-food items are no good. That we learned. And then he says, Ubi'inan, this is from, if I'm not mistaken, the Magen Avraham, in the name of the Maharil, Ubi'inan sheyiyah min ochal ha-mevushal. You got to send something that's cooked, v'lav baser chai, and not something that is raw. Why? The mishloach manos means haro'ui miyad l'achila mashma. Something that is ready to eat, v'yesh amrim, and some disagree and say that no, that kevan shel shochet, since the meat is prepared, it's slaughtered, v'ro'ui l'spashel miyad, and it's fit to be immediately cooked, therefore, shari, it's okay, and one doesn't have to make sure that the food is actually ready to eat. Some, as not surprisingly, some say this might depend a little bit on the manas alevi versus a Truma Sadeshan. That according to Truma Sadeshan, a stronger case can be made that the food should be ready to eat. Whereas according to the manas alevi, according to Shlomo HaKavitz, it doesn't matter that much as long as you're demonstrating achdus and achman reyes towards another Jew, where the food is ready to eat is not significant. Yeah. No, it's or eat. Very good. Excellent point. Excellent. That's the Rambam with which we began said three different things. He said, once Mekayim Shalachmanis by sending two portions of meat, or two tavshilin, which mean two cooked foods, or two ochlin, which probably means two raw foods, two non-cooked foods. So one can be a little bit stubborn and say non-cooked foods that are fit to be eaten as is, an apple or an orange. But the Rambam doesn't stipulate that. The Rambam doesn't say that. He says two types of ochlin, which would seem to indicate any type of food, not necessarily food that is ready to eat as is. Yeah. Why two portions if it's for one person? And that's right. why two portions if it's for one person? So the answer is, well, that's the pasuk. The question is, why is that the pasuk? Yeah. It should be berevach, not to have to, not one thing, but to have two things. Oh, no, two is a minimum. You can give, three, you can give 17, you can give a lot. But two is a minimum, because that's because one is sustenance, one is to eat, and two is to eat berevach, like you're celebrating. Now, the Chacham could have said three, but that maybe would have been too much of an imposition. We don't want to make people too crazy. It's almost Pesach. As we don't, one might have been too much. To say three or four would have been too much. Two is more than one. One is sustenance, and two is beyond sustenance. Two is berevach. Making that up, but I think that might be an option. Yeah. Aha. Could be. Maybe. Yeah. Oh, sorry. I'm sorry? Well, it would be fruit, it would be wrong. So if I understood correctly, the question was, what's the raw part of the ochlin? So the raw part means that when the Rambam says raw food, so it might mean food that still has to be cooked, or it might mean food that could be eaten as is. Okay. Yes. Question is: are immediate family considered to be ishur ayehu? So the answer is yes. The answer is absolutely yes. Does the Suda count? So what did we learn? That if one doesn't have anything else, so you could switch meals and that would count. I should clarify just for half a drop. Does immediate family count? The answer is yes. But it is not so simple that people who live in the same home and are supported by one source, that could be that doesn't count. In other words, for a married child to give you shalach manis, that for sure counts. But for a child who's living at home, so many poskim say that would not count. But if being an immediate family absolutely yes counts. Yeah. Question? Yeah. Oh well, instead of possible, as a strong case can be made. Halacha l'mais, I would not rely on that as my only shalchmanis. That's because it had the surah, the form in which one is becoming the mitzvah, is by handing over. That's even when one doesn't have, so the Rambam says, what do? The Shulchan Aruch says, you give your meal to her, and she gives her meal back. So that would be, there has to be a handing over process. Just inviting would not be adequate. Yeah, one more question, then we'll continue. Yeah. What is the earliest time that you could send shalach manis? So that is a perfect segue into the next piece. Excellent question. Generally, we know that shalach manis has to be all the mitzvahs of Purim, shalach manis, matanis lev yamim, are daytime mitzvahs. Which is a little bit of a pain, especially when Purim is on in Erev Shabbos. So it will make my life way, way easier if I send shalach manis at night. So what's the halacha? Is there any way? Can you give us a break, maybe? So the Gra points out, the Vilna Gaon notes, that if you go back to the original pasuk with which we began, when Mordechai sent out the Svarim, the proclamations, so he declared in Pasuk Chaf Beis, Lasos Osam Yemei Mishneh V'Simcha. What does Yemei mean? Days of Mishneh and Simcha. Therefore, says the Gra, this would be a textual support for the psak of the Poskim that one can only fulfill the mitzvahs of Purim, Purim day and not Purim night. Nonetheless, there may be some hope. But the day starts at night, halachically with respect to the calendar begins at night, but it's considered to be night. It's the night of the 14th, it's not the 13th, but it's not day of the 14th until daybreak, and then really ideally sunrise on Friday morning. So there may not be hope, and it's a Bar Heitev on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, asks the following question: is there any way that one can send Shalach Manas before the day of Purim? Well, now we're talking. Such that, I'm positive that the Shalach Manas are going to reach the intended recipients on the day of Purim itself. In other words, if you send before, but it's received on Purim day, does that count? So say the Poskim, it depends on the reason. If you assume the purpose of Shalach Manas is to provide the recipient with adequate Purim Suda provisions, so even if you send it before, it all goes according to when the recipient receives. And thus, if you send before and they receive it on Purim, that would be acceptable. Whereas if you assume the purpose is from the sender's standpoint to demonstrate Achva and Reyus, so then a strong case can be made that Achva and Reyus has to be demonstrated on Purim itself and not beforehand. There is, however, a solution that some of the Poskim suggest, and that is as follows. In a situation where giving the Shalach Manas on the day of Purim itself is, for whatever reason, not feasible, so what can be done is to appoint a Shaliach, in other words, whether it means sending money to somebody to buy Shalach Manas on your behalf, or whether it means giving an actual basket to a friend on your behalf, I mean, to an emissary who's going to deliver that basket on your behalf. Okay? But you stipulate that the basket you're giving them is not being transferred to the shaliach, to the agent, until Purim day. I'm giving the basket to my agent on Tuesday. On Tuesday before Purim. I'm sending money to some Israeli organization today. And what they're going to do is they're going to buy Shalach Manas for the IDF soldiers, whatever the case may be. But they have in mind that they are not, that until Purim day, the baskets are there, are just what's called a pikadon, they're a deposit. They're watching the baskets for me. They have not yet acquired them. They're not yet my shaliach. The shlichus, the actual agency, that begins on Purim day. And that's, until then, they're not my shaliach. Even though I made you my agent, but I'm only giving you, so to speak, power of attorney, or shlichus, on Purim day. Until that point, you're just doing me a favor, watching something that belongs to me, such that, essentially, on Purim day, I'm being mekayem the mitzvah by appointing an agent to deliver shalach manas on my behalf. Is this, lechadchila, the best? So some perhaps would argue, but when one does not have another option, this would be a possibility. That's it. It's important to keep in mind that the mitzvah of Shalach Manas one fulfills through one basket. That's two portions of food. If you want to send 25 or 50 or 100 Shalach Manas, and you give 99 of them at night and one during the day, so you were mekayim the mitzvah. Now, if you have an option of not doing it this way, so you might as well, it's better to give all 100 during the day, because I'd rather do 100 mitzvahs than doing one mitzvah and 99 good deeds that aren't actually the mitzvah of Shalach Manas. That's if I could, so it's certainly better, even though you only have to give one, but if you're going to be giving 100, it's certainly better to give all 100 in a time where you're going to be credited for the mitzvah of Mishloach Manas. But technically, you do get the mitzvah of Shalach Manas if you send a single basket on Purim day and everything else you do a week before, you would still get the mitzvah, but you only got one mitzvah, you did not get a 100 mitzvahs. Some of the Poskim address a second question, then we'll take our questions. And that is as follows. What's better? Giving two or three people high quality, useful shalach manas, or going to find 100 people and sending them, you know, sending them a much less useful shalach manas? Quality or quantity? So many of the poskim suggest it should depend upon the rationale. If the purpose is to provide for a meal, so probably you're providing better by sending quality items versus quantity. Whereas if the purpose is to demonstrate commitment to greater Jewish achdus and unity, cohesiveness, so then the more the merrier, even if they are of lesser quality, it's the thought that counts. Yeah. Okay. Why appoint minutes if the purpose of shalach manas is to bring people closer together? So generally that's more the case when you do it yourself versus appointing a shliach. Fair point. Do not open, you have to be, but do not open until, or do not acquire until, so that might be an option. Yeah. That's okay. That would be okay. There is, some of the poskim say that it's better, according to Trumas Hadashen, that the reason for shalach manas is to provide adequate food for the meals. It would be better to send in the morning before you sit down to eat, as opposed to half an hour before Shabbos when everybody's finished eating, in response to somebody who sent you. So the early bird might be getting a bigger mitzvah, but reciprocating is certainly acceptable as well. Yeah, I think there was a question in the back. I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay, so so there's definitely a chance, depending on who's doing the work, depending on what they have in mind, depending on when they give out, etc. Practically, I personally would recommend that always make sure you got one clean shalach manas piece of fruit, two pieces of food that you actually hand to somebody who's not living in your house. And then if you want to do the rest of your shalach manas through an organization, ma tov v'ma noim. But theoretically, if the organizations really, and as they always advertise, that this is Baskamas from Shlomo Zalman Orbach, Zichrono Livracha. Either organization started 2 years ago, Shlomo was Nifter, not sure how that works. But what I assume is that they worked out all the kinks, and that's when the organizations from Israel, the Yad Eliezer, Od Yosef, the good organizations generally are under significant rabbinic guidance, and I would imagine that they do these things that we just described. That give a shliach, but you're only going to be, I'm giving it to you now, as a pikadon, you only become a shliach on the day, etc. But it depends on the organization. Yeah. Halacha with an avel, so the din is that an avel sends a single shalach manas. In terms of you giving to the avelim, so generally the practice is that we give to the family. You give to the family, not to the specific avel. It should be noted, though, that if Rachmana Litzlan, an individual, is in avel, and somebody is not aware of the halacha, and gives and hands them a shalach manas, so the Ksav Sofer writes in a tshuva, it's 1,000,000% permissible to accept. That applies to gifts throughout the year as well. The prohibition against gifts to an avel is one of she'elas shalom. It's from the giver's standpoint, it's not from the standpoint of the recipient. So if somebody offers the avel a gift, whether it's perm, whether it's throughout the year, the avel is allowed to accept that gift. As it is what it is. Nobody, the person who gave it is doing something wrong accidentally, but by you accepting it, you're not in any way contributing to it. It's okay. Could be. Great question. Don't know. Two different types of tea. You get a Bigelow, you get the raspberry bags. So would that count? I personally would be concerned, maybe that's considered to be one min, it's considered to be one type of food, but depending how big a tea person you are, you might argue that. Okay. One more question, then we'll continue. Finished. So the Ramah writes in Tafresh Sadi Hay, question is there any issue of, in terms of a man giving to a woman, woman giving to a man? So the Ramah writes that the practice is that men give to men and women give to women. Right? That doesn't mean that you can't, that a married woman can't give to her father. It's not what it means. But what it means, but the general minhag is that men give to men, women give to women. It's not based on tznius, incidentally. It's based on a concern, based on the old practices of what's called, time does not permit, a savlanus, gifts that were sent for weddings, for engagements. We don't want anybody to get the wrong impression. So bottom line, men send to men, and women send to women. Just to conclude, a couple of very important points related to this year. Those of us who may have the opportunity to be in Israel next week, or in 2 weeks, shalachmanis are sent on what day? So it depends who you ask. So bottom line, Purim in most places in Israel is on Friday, but Yerushalayim it's on Shabbos. That doesn't work. So Kriyas HaMegillah you can't do on Shabbos. You might come to carry. So Kriyas HaMegillah in Yerushalayim is done on Friday. Matanas Lev Yanim are done on Friday. The Gemara says because the Aniyim always look to Kriyas HaMegillah, and that's when they expect their Matanas. Al Hanisim is not set on Friday. Al Hanisim is set on Shabbos. And writes the Kalba, one of the Rishonim from medieval times, the second to last source on the sheets, that the Su'uda Usudas Purim Shechalias the Shabbos Ma'achrinasa Ve'makdimin. The Su'uda of Purim, number 14, in Yerushalayim, we do on Sunday, the Ein Machdimin, we don't do it on Friday. What's the reason? V'atam she'ein osim osa b'Shabbos. Why can't we just do it on Shabbos? Shabbos is the day of Al-Anisim. You're allowed to eat on Shabbos. So the answer is, Mishum du'al matzi l'kiyumei u'mishlach manos, because, writes the Kalbo, on Shabbos, in many places that are in Erev, you can't send Shalach Manas, and finish the sentence, and the Kalbo apparently assumes, like the Trumas HaDeshen, that the purpose of Mishlach Manas is to provide for the meals, therefore, since Shalach Manas can't be sent on Shabbos, the Su'ud of Purim has to be pushed to Sunday as well. The clear assumption of the Kalbo is the Pesach of the Shulchan Aruch, is that Shalach Manas and the Su'ud are going to be on Sunday. One final point that again is relevant to Israel, and with this we absolutely conclude, and that is this year is a special year, it's a Shemitah year, which means that, believe it or not, Shalach Manas is significantly affected, according to some of the poskim, not just in terms of the Hashkachas, the Mechira, Bedatz, leaving all that stuff aside. That's leaving aside the Altar of Beis Din and had to leave it alone. But there's another basic issue. The halacha is that Shemitah fruit is la'achla, may only be eaten, and one may not engage in commerce using actual Shemitah fruit. Therefore, some of the poskim say that just as the halacha is, if I owe somebody money, I am not allowed to repay that individual using Shemitah fruit. So too, I am not allowed to discharge my obligation of Shalach Manas. That's an obligation. It's a chov using Shemitah fruit. This is the psach of Rav Vajner Shalita, who only allows you to send Shalach Manas, your extra Shalach Manas, but it's not so bad. The first Shalach Manas is an obligation. That you cannot use Shemitah fruit. You gotta find some other, you have to find something that doesn't have Kedushas Shavias, non-Jewish produce, which is not so great, or the minutak, the stuff that's grown in the hothouses, whatever you're going to use, but the next 95 Shalach Manas, those are optional. Those are not an obligation, therefore one is not considered to be discharging enough a debt using Shemitah fruit, and the rest of the Shalach Manas can use Shemitah fruit. If someone Simon or Bach Zichron Levracha maintained that it's never a problem, that even the first Shalach Manas one could yes send with Shemitah fruit, the understanding being that a mitzvah is not a chov, that a mitzvah is not a debt, there's no a debt somebody can be talveya, somebody can bring it to Beis Din on. If I don't send somebody Shalach Manas, the person has absolutely no claim against me, and hence giving Shalach Manas, using Shemitah fruit, even the first Shalach Manas, from Shlomo Zalman Auerbach maintained, would not be a problem. We should merit lots and lots of Simcha and Achva and Reyos, according to the reason of Trumas HaDesh and the Manas HaLevi, by Yomim Ahem, Bisman Hazeh.